بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, one time in one masjid in one of the towns in South Africa, after the Zuhr Salah there was a huge commotion. One half of the masjid was saying the Imam Sahib read 3 rakats, the other half are insisting that he read 4 rakats. And it was almost that a fight was going to break out now. One half is insisting that we are certain the Imam Sahib read 3 rakats. The other half are saying, no, we know he read 4 rakats. So an old man from the back woke up and he said, Imam Sahib, I can guarantee you, I'm ready to put my life on the line that you read 3 rakats only. So they asked him, uncle, how do you know? How are you so certain? Everybody's in ikhtilaf, they're not sure. So he says, my habit every day when I come for Zuhr Salah is that I got 4 shops. And in each rakat, they take the hisab of each shop. And today I know only 3 shops came out. The 4th shop hisab didn't get done. So I'm certain that only 3 rakats were it. So alhamdulillah, at least we know we weren't thinking of our shops and our businesses in the salah. Allah protect us. Lesson for myself also, standing in the front. How ghafil we can become sometimes. Negligent. Standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still Allah is ash-shakur. Allah accepts and gives us the full reward inshallah. Continuing with the tafsir. Last night we heard the 28th juz, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the incident of a sahabiyya by the name of Khula bint Tha'laba radiallahu anha. This particular sahabiyya was married to a person by the name of Aus bin Samit radiallahu anhu. And on one occasion, some argument broke out in the marriage. Aus bin Samit then says to her, "Anti alayya ka dhahri ummi," that you, O my wife, are like the back of my mother. Now this was a statement that would be made in the times of Jahiliyyah, where a person would resemble his wife to his mother, and this would then be taken to be a talaq and a divorce. So he says this to his wife. She is of course worried and aggrieved. She comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Nabi of Allah, I was married to this person, Aus bin Samit. We enjoyed many youthful years together. I bore many children of his. And now that I have become old, I am unable to bear children anymore. He has divorced me, has given me talaq, and this is what he has said. So is there any way out for me?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that as far as I understand, these words do denote a talaq, a divorce. And I see that you have been separated from your husband. But this particular woman, Khawla bint Thalaba radiallahu anha, she says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I will put my case before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have hope Allah will make a way out for me." So she raises her hands in dua to Allah. She puts her case before him. Her sincerity and her hope and trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so great that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down and these verses are revealed. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا, that Allah has heard the statement of that woman who comes to you disputing regarding her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, and she raises her case before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter the verses are revealed saying that a person who makes a statement like this, this does not constitute a talaq. Rather, this is just like a promise that he has made. And if he wishes, he can take his wife back. He must pay some kafara. But divorce has not taken place and he can take his wife back into his nikah. So this was the sincerity of Khula bint Thalaba radiallahu anha because of her deep hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will make a way out for me. Allah will not abandon me. He will not just leave me and forsake me. Because of this hope, this sincerity that she has, Jibreel alayhi salam comes down and these verses are revealed, which begin the 28th juz. Thereafter, in the 28th juz, in Suratul Mumtahina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about another important incident that had taken place regarding Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preparing for Fath Makkah, then he had raised his hands in dua and said, "Allahumma ammi alayhim khabarana." O Allah, this preparation that we are making, where we will march against Makkah Mukarrama, I ask you to keep it a secret. Don't reveal it, don't disclose it to the Quraysh, because of course this will put us at a disadvantage. Saying this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that begin preparations for Fath Makkah. Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu, he was a sincere mu'min, a sahabi, but he writes a letter in which he addresses the leaders of the Quraysh in Makkah Mukarrama, and he informs them of the plan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He takes this letter, he folds it up, and he gives it to a woman and tells her that take this letter to Makkah Mukarrama and hand it over to the leaders of the Quraysh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed through wahi that this is what has transpired. He sends a group of Sahaba. One narration says Ali radiallahu anhu is part of this group. Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu, Miqdad radiallahu anhu. One narration says Abu Marthad radiallahu anhu. These Sahaba go, they pursue this woman, and finally they reach her and they ask her, where is this letter that you are carrying? This woman denies that she has any letter with her. She insists that I have nothing, I'm just traveling. They then threaten her that if you don't give the letter to us, we will have to search you. Eventually she concedes, she opens her plait, and she takes out this letter that she had hidden there, and she gives it to them. They bring this letter and come back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he opens it, he finds that Hatib bin Abi Balta'a has addressed the leaders of Quraysh, and this is what he has done. He has disclosed the plans of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him, and he presents the letter before him. Hatib bin Abi Balta'a says to him, O Nabi of Allah, la ta'ajal alayya. Don't hasten in punishing me, but rather hear my side of the story. And thereafter he goes on to explain himself. He says, Inni kuntum ra'an mulsaqan bil Quraysh. I was not from the people of Makkah Mukarramah. I had come as a businessman. I settled amongst them. It was just myself and my family. I had no relatives, no friends. And thereafter the call for Hijrah came. I migrated and I came to Medina Munawwara. The other Muhajirin, those Sahaba who have migrated, they have family, they have relatives, they have friends in Makkah Mukarramah. And therefore when the Muslim army will march against Makkah Mukarramah, they will have some friends and relatives to take care of their possessions and their businesses. And their family members who remain behind in Makkah Mukarramah will also be taken care of. But because I was an outsider, it was just myself, my wife, my children, I have no relatives and friends to secure my interest in Makkah Mukarramah. So I thought that I would do some favor to the Quraysh. I would inform them of your coming. And in this way they would then repay the favor and look after my interest in Makkah Mukarramah. It was not done out of any hostility or out of any nifaq and hypocrisy, but I was just trying to protect my own interest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listens to this and he says, Innahu qad sadaqa. Hatib has spoken the truth and there is no punishment for him. He needs to make istighfar and tawbah for what he has done. Umar radiallahu anhu then says, O Nabi of Allah, da'ani adrib unuqa hadha al-munafiq. Allow me to strike off or to strike the neck of this munafiq. Innahu qad khana Allah wa rasulahu. He has betrayed and been treacherous to Allah and his Rasul. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, O Umar, don't you know that this particular person has taken part in the battle of Badr? And it is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to the people of Badr that do as you please, Allah has forgiven you. But the lesson we take from here, respected brothers and elders, many a times people say things or something is done and without verifying, without finding the full story, or hearing that person's side of the story, we are quick to jump, to make assumptions that this person did it because of this. He said this because of that. And we build the entire case in the story in our minds, as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed something of the unseen to us. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that allow the person to explain himself. Give him a fair chance. Perhaps he was sincere. Perhaps he has a reason for what he did. Although he did commit a sin, he did something that was incorrect. But give him the chance to express his reasoning, to present his case before you, and thereafter you can pass judgment, does he need to be punished or not. So this is the incident of Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu. Thereafter, moving on in Suratul Munafiqun towards the end of the 28th Juz, an incident takes place regarding Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He was the leader of the Munafiqeen. On one of the battles where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone out, there was the Muslims had set up camp, and there was a well that they used to draw their water from. So on one night it transpired that there were two Sahaba who had come to this well to draw water. And they both reached at the same time. There was some fight that broke out between them. One is saying that I have the right to draw water first. The other is saying I was here first before you. And this fight then continues. And the one Sahabi, he then calls out for assistance and help. He says, Ya ma'shar al-Ansar, O people of the Ansar, why don't you come to my assistance? The other Sahabi happens to be a Muhajir, a person from Makkah Mukarramah. So he calls out, Ya Ma'shar al-Muhajirin, O assembly of emigrants, you come to my assistance. And it now becomes a war or a battle between two factions of the Ummah. Two groups, both are amongst the Sahaba, but now they have aligned themselves to either side. This news reaches the ears of Abdullah bin Ubay, the leader of the Munafiqeen. When he hears this, he passes a comment, he says to a friend of his, that this is an example of سَمِّنْ كَلْبَكَ يَأْكُلْكَ. You fatten your dog and that same dog will one day bite your hand and eat you. These muhajirin, they came from Makkah Mukarramah. They left their businesses, they left their families, their relatives. They had no worldly possessions. They had no knowledge of business in Medina Munawwara. We opened our homes to them. We assisted them financially. We gave them a place to stay. And now look at what they are doing. They want to start a fight with us. They want to quarrel and dispute and argue with us. And thereafter he says, لَا تُنْفِقُوا عَلَى مَنْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَنْفَضُّوا. That, oh my companions, withhold whatever financial assistance you have been giving to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until these muhajirin leave his side. When they leave him, and it is only the Nabi of Allah, then we will assist him financially. So Allah responds to this and says, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That, don't you know, the treasures of the skies and the earth belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. These hypocrites do not understand. In other words, don't think that the financial assistance you are giving to the deen of Allah is something that you are benefiting the deen of Allah. Rather, the deen of Allah is benefiting you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not in need of your assistance. If tomorrow you withhold your spending, somebody else will be chosen. Allah will accept their wealth in the path of Allah. In the same way, when it comes to our expenses, our spending in the path of Allah, a person spends, whether he pays towards the maintenance of some masjid, he pays for towards some madrasa, some good work of deen that is taking place, we should always have this mindset, that it is actually my good fortune that Allah has accepted my wealth in his path. It is not that I am doing a favor to the deen of Allah. It is Allah that has chosen me, and if he can very well replace me with somebody else. Further he then says, لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلِ. That when we return to Medina Munawwara, then the honorable and the mighty ones from amongst us, we will expel and we will chase out those who are weak, those who are downtrodden, those who have no real value in society. In other words, he is saying that we as the Ansar, we are superior, and these muhajirin have no value, they have no status in society, and we will expel them from Medina Munawwara. Again Allah responds, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That, understand, izzat, honor, respect belongs to Allah, to His Rasul, and to those who have true iman. It does not mean because you belong to one group and you gave so much of assistance to the deen of Allah that you are honorable, you are mighty, you are superior. But rather, izzat, honor, respect is on the basis of iman. That person who will have true iman and he has a relationship with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be regarded as a person with izzat, a person with respect and honor in this world. One more verse in Surah At-Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about tawakkul. As we discussed a few mornings ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various verses of the Quran tells us to have tawakkul, trust and reliance upon Him. In this particular verse, Allah says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That person who will develop taqwa, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within his heart, Allah will make a way out for him. In other words, from every difficulty, whatever difficult situation he is in, ulama explained, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical, whatever difficulty, whatever hardship has presented itself in the life of a person, the solution to this is taqwa. A person develops the consciousness of Allah, he tries to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the promise is يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will make a way out for him. Allah will create the means for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will provide for him from such avenues that he does not expect. He never anticipated that I am going to get sustenance from this avenue. But Allah opens the door for him and provides for him. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That person who will have trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will be sufficient for him. In other words, Allah will save him from turning towards people, from putting his needs before anybody else. Allah will take care of his needs. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we read, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ. Allah says that if you had to place trust upon Allah as you ought to do so, full reliance, faith, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person understands and realizes that every need of mine, whether it be financial, whether it be physical, some sickness, I'm searching for the cure, whether it be spiritual, whatever it may be, whatever need I have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that can fulfill it for me. Then لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. Allah will provide for you, Allah will sustain you, just as He provides for the birds. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains further, تَغْدُو خِمَاسًا. The bird leaves home in the morning, it leaves its nest with an empty stomach. It does not have the means to fill its belly. وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. But it returns in the evening satiated with a full belly. Who has provided for that bird? Without any university degree, without any shop, without any business acumen. But it has trust upon Allah that I will leave my nest, I will make an effort, but I will place my trust ultimately upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we will also do the same, place our trust upon Allah together with making the requisite effort, whatever it may be, a person has to go to work, he has to try and earn a halal sustenance, but ultimately his trust, his tawakkul is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says we will provide for him just as we provide for the birds. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. We'll just read one hadith from this kitab, which we have been discussing for the past few days, titled Shauq-e Watan, the yearning and desire for the hereafter, where Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in this kitab various ahadith speaking about maut, about death, about the life after this world, and how a mu'min waits to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's hadith, Anas radiallahu anhu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, I find man's departure from this world similar to the emergence of an infant from the womb of his mother. He leaves the dark and constricted place and he comes to the vastness of this world. Ulama explain that that young child or that fetus in the womb of the mother, he is in a very constricted and dark place. If somebody has to tell that fetus that, do you know there is a world beyond this? There is a world where there are different colors, there are different shapes, there are different foods, there is something such as a tree, a plant, flowers, different colors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. Then how won't this child or this fetus wish that I could emerge from this womb, this restricted, this dark place where I can barely move around comfortably. And I now go to this world that you are speaking about where there is so much of place, I can run, I can play, I can have so much of enjoyment and fun. In the same way, in this dunya, a mu'min, a person who is living with iman, following the commands of Allah, he is also restricted. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does have restrictions. There are certain things he can't do, certain foods he cannot consume, certain places he cannot visit. He has to come to the masjid 5 times a day. Various commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is some restriction upon him. But the hereafter is like this dunya, like that child. He can't wait to go to the world and experience the freedom, experience the vastness of the world. In the same way, this person cannot, the mu'min cannot wait to leave this world. That I will leave this tight and constrained place and I will go to the hereafter. And we read in the ahadith the size of the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. Just for us to understand, generally after our Fajr and Asr Salah, we read what is known as Tasbih-e-Fatimi. We read our Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for each Subhanallah, one tree is planted in Jannah. Ulama explain, those who know about farming, then we know that when trees are planted, a lot of space has to be left between them. Because the roots will then grow, the branches will then grow. So a great amount of space and distance is left between two trees. A person says Subhanallah 33 times after one salah. It means we are planting 33 trees in our garden of Jannah. And just as in this world, space has to be left. So there also the trees of Jannah, in the hadith, we learn that it will take a fast horse rider 500 years to cross the shade of one tree. And space has to be left between these trees. Each Subhanallah, each Tasbih, each Alhamdulillah, each time we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama explained we are increasing the size of our plot in the gardens of Jannah. The person that does not do this, how foolish. Just it takes 1 or 2 seconds to say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Yet unfortunately we find my condition is that how quick we are to wake up after the salah and to run away. That 1 or 2 minutes just to read our tasbihat, whether it be after the Fajr salah, after the Asr salah. Think of the reward, the great benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين العاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم لك الحمد كما تقول وخير مما نقول. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. أسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا كربا إلا نفسته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا ولدا إلا أصلحته، ولا عيبا إلا سترته، ولا مسافرا إلا هديته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها، يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان، واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعوة لا يستجاب لها. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تذرنا فردا وأنت خير الوارثين. ربنا هب لنا من الصالحين. ربنا توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. ربنا تقبل صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتلاوتنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلم رمضان لنا وسلمه لنا متقبلا. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.